Good evening and welcome. I'm so glad to see so many people here. This is a very important topic and we love when there's community participation. It is Monday, March 18th, 2019 at 6:30 and I am calling this public hearing to order. Present this evening are council members Mr. Fry, Mr. Hainem, Mr. Lutke, Mrs. Hussman, Mr. Richardson, and myself, Mary Westfall. Mrs. Capellini is excused. Additionally, from administration, we have Mr. Sanford, we have Chief Rodas, Mr. Aller, we have Law Director Mrs. Brining, Mayor Stow, and Sharon Booker. So this public hearing today is to discuss recommendations for a designated outdoor refreshment area. We will be referring to that as a DORA throughout the discussion, and we're looking at one for downtown Sylvania. An ad hoc committee of community partners and residents was put together last summer to take a look at this and make a recommendation back to city council members about what might be appropriate going forward. So that committee was led by Mr. Lutke, and their recommendations were presented to city council in February of 2019. So copies of their recommendations are available, as well as a map of the area that's being considered, as well as a kind of a visual of a parklet area, are on the side tables, and there's probably not enough for everybody, so if you can share, that would be great, and if we need to get more copies, I'm sure we could make that happen. At this time, I'll just share a quick high-level overview of how the process will unfold tonight. We will begin with Mr. Lutke, who will give a high-level overview of the ad hoc committee's recommendations, just so that everybody can hear that. Then we will open up for public comment from those who like the idea and want to speak in favor of the DORA. And then we will invite anyone who has concerns or has other ideas that they'd like to suggest about the DORA, and they would be invited to share them at that time. This is a public hearing, which means that council members' primary purpose tonight is to listen to all of you, to hear your thoughts, to listen to your opinions, to take in all of the information that you have to share, and then to take time to think about what is the right path forward for our community. So I do not anticipate that any decisions will be made tonight. We really see this as an opportunity to hear your voice. So with that, I'm going to invite Mr. Lutke to begin with the overview, if you'd be willing.
Right. Mary, thank you very much. It's good to see such a good crowd here tonight. I think I've probably spoken with some of you by phone, provided you with some background in some cases. So it's nice to see you and others here. As Mary said, council has been reviewing the idea of a DORA for about 6 months. The merchants came to us and requested us to consider an open outdoor refreshment area. In addition to putting together a committee that had quite a bit of meeting and discussion about what the DORA would look like in Sylvania, and that committee was made up of two residents in the neighborhoods around downtown, two business owners, and two members of council. Mr. Richardson and I represented the council on that committee. We also did some benchmarking with other communities our size in Ohio who have DORA districts. We talked with the residents and business owners of the two DORAs in downtown Toledo. We understand that that's a very different neighborhood than downtown Sylvania, but we wanted to get input on their experience. So I would say that the current recommendations are just those, kind of the summary of all of the input that we've gotten so far. Clearly, we are committed to the fact that we want to hear from our community about this as well. So this is the first step in that process. The key points are that we would establish, and I just so that everybody knows what a DORA is in terms of our definition of that. The fundamental result of a DORA would be to allow customers to purchase beer and wine at our participating establishments downtown. In special cups, and those cups then would be allowed to leave the premise of the bar or the restaurant where it was purchased, and individuals would be able to walk around in the DORA district with those cups, beer and wine. They would not be allowed to go to another establishment with that cup. They'd have to be either finish it or throw it away before they went into another bar or tavern, and they would not be allowed to bring the DORA cups into any other business downtown. In addition to, and I'm going to ask my law director to stop me mid-sentence if I misstate this. Thank you, Leslie. We are allowed in Slovenia just one DORA for our city based on our population, so this would be the DORA district. However, what we're talking about tonight is a recommendation to have it be in a fairly contained area downtown, but we would in the future have the ability to add on areas to the existing DORA as long as they're contiguous, as long as they bump up to one another. That's not for this year. That's just some point in the future. So what would the DORA look like? The key points are that the existing DORA would be in what we call the B3 zoning district of downtown. So that's basically the area that's bounded by the north side of Monroe Street, the west side of Summit Street, the north side of Erie Street, and the railroad tracks. So everything within that district would be the DORA. The permitted times of the DORA was the result of quite a bit of conversation in our committee. There was a wide range of perspective on how frequently the DORA should be enforced. The committee came to an agreement that we needed to be to start big and potentially take input about modifying that. So what we're talking about is a DORA district that would allow open containers from 10 a.m. to close every day. So that's a very aggressive DORA, but that's what the committee felt we wanted to start with. The key component of the DORA would be to establish four outdoor seating areas in downtown. We felt that it was a recipe for disaster to simply give people containers of beer or wine and let them walk around with no place to go. So what the recommendation includes is the creation of four areas for individuals to sit, congregate, converse in the downtown area. We're calling these bump outs or parklets because three of them would be built into existing parking spaces on Maplewood or Main Street. So we'll take a parking space, build it up with a platform that comes off the sidewalk, put a railing around it, plant it with vegetation planting, decorative planting, have places for people to sit, tables for people to use, and be able to get off the right-of-ways and into a place where they can sit and talk and enjoy each other. The two locations on Main Street for that would be right at the crosswalk in the middle of the block, one in front of Chandler's and one in front of the Hudson Gallery. So one parking spot would be dedicated on each side of the street for that. There would also be one on Maplewood, just around the corner from Main Street, essentially in the intersection, or in the roadway between where Inside the Five is located and Fiddlesticks is located. If you're like me, these are one of the three parking spaces that always are full when I'm trying to find a place to park downtown, so we would take one of those away and put a parklet in. A fourth space for people to sit would be outside of J&G's on the Maplewood side. That's a very wide sidewalk there, and our intention would be to put on sidewalk seating in that space as well. So four areas for people to go with their DORA cups. In terms of funding, the business owners have committed to fund the cups and store signs that describe what the DORA district is all about. The Downtown Sylvania Association has agreed to pay for clings that would go on every retail establishment, reminding people that DORA cups are not allowed inside those establishments. The city would pay for the signage that is required under the DORA legislation by the state, defining and marking very clearly what the DORA area is. And the parklets themselves, the seating areas, would be funded privately by sponsors. So we feel that there's an opportunity to go out and get sponsorships from businesses, local organizations to fund the parklets. It's important to note that the parklets would be seasonal and not year-round. We feel that they would be, that while it's an interesting idea, They're not appropriate for the city crews to plow the snow in downtown Sylvania in the wintertime. So the doors would be installed sometime in the spring and taken out sometime in the fall and stored, brought back the next year. Very important to say that nothing is set in stone at this point. I think council members are of very diverse minds about this plan. We have referred it to the city's safety committee for disposition. Mr. Fry, sitting next to me, is the chairman of that committee. And we've had one public meeting, and I will tell you that the main issues that came up in that committee meeting, rather, one of the issues that came up in that meeting were the hours, conversation about the hours being a little too broad, and the liability related to, and the training related to putting the Dora in downtown. We have to establish where that sits. Other than that, it's very wide open, and we're very anxious to hear, Mrs. Westfall, what our community has to say about this.
Thank you, Mr. Luthke. That was very helpful. I appreciate that. So with that, I would open up to comment from members of the community. When you step up to the microphone, which is what I would ask you to do when you're ready to make a comment, please introduce yourself by name and share your address. And I would begin with comments from people who would like to speak in support of the Dora. Well, this is an easy group.
Are we going to limit the time frame here?
You know, I think we'll let them get started and see if we see the need to limit the time.
I am David Jakeway. I live on 4717 Woodland Lane. Wife and I have been residents of Spania for about 3 years now. And I just wanted to come say that, you know, we very much enjoy coming out to the fence in Sylvania and, you know, gathering with our friends. And we think that it would be a nice thing to have the Dora District to kind of attract more younger people and give us something to do, you know, at a local level versus maybe going downtown or to Perrysburg.
Thank you very much.
Nick Dallas, I represent J&G Pizza, and obviously you know we're really small. It would help us tremendously to allow people to all go out there and wait with a beverage in hand. People want to do it now. We have to constantly police that, and you know, that's just one small opinion on the matter. That's really why we're for this. We would also definitely help out with that public gathering space. It would, you know, help all businesses, I believe. This is a good thing on the community to have this. Would easily tell you that it doesn't cause some of the problems that people may think it would. It's a pretty relaxed environment still, you know, within those communities. So that's really all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. I represent a LLC called Kermit LLC. We own Haymarket Square. We own the 5753, which is right across from Haymarket Square. We also own some townhomes on 7th Street. In questioning my tenants, I don't have any complaints about the whole program. The one thing that was said that perhaps we can certainly work on later in the logistics of this whole thing is maybe bringing one of your parks up north a little bit. Again, we 5758 North Main Street is the Haymarket Square.
Hi, I'm Katie Fields, from Inventify Brewing Company, 5708 North Main Street. We fully support this DORA, and we should say this before. We see it as an extension of our waiting area. We also see it as a way to enjoy the beautiful weather when it gets here. We listen to that, actually. We support the extended hours, the 10 a.m. to close. I think weather here in Ohio puts so much restriction on it to begin with. If we only have it on weekends, and it rains all weekend, and people come out during the week, and they want to enjoy outside, and they can't. It's also very confusing. When people come down, they've been here before, they have to read the fine print, the details of when it is in effect and when it isn't. In terms of during the day or late night, we, at Inside Five, we don't have a very late night crowd. We have a dinner crowd, we have a lunch crowd. We never have to kick anybody out because we're closing. So I see, you know, all day having that available is, we kind of fit who comes in to visit us. So that's kind of why we support the all day. It's, in downtown Pennsylvania, there aren't that many patios. So this just gets people outside. It allows them to walk around and see what other businesses are in downtown Pennsylvania, so I think it benefits everyone downtown. It also gets people to, one, it brings attention to Pennsylvania, gets new people downtown, but it also keeps people here longer. So we fully support the DORA, and I think it's a great thing for the city. Thank you.
One last call, if you would, in favor. Are there any, is there any person who has some thoughts or concerns that they would like to share at this time?
Hi. My name is Tim Perazzi, and I live at 6704 Franklin Street. It's just north of here. And the only thing I have a problem with is traffic. Whenever you close these streets off on the festivals, our neighborhood becomes like a Indy 500. People coming down from Michigan cut through Franklin Street Park to Orchard down the Summit, and vice versa. Last summer, two of the occasions that you closed the streets off, I counted 10 to 15 cars every 3 or 4 minutes. And these guys aren't doing 25 miles an hour. We have no sidewalks on part of those streets, so I think it's a safety hazard for the children in the neighborhood. Not to mention, the peace and the quiet is just destroyed. So if we could address that somehow, I know it's not part of this DORA, but just maybe something saying local traffic only, because they really should be using Green Street or Yankee Road or Sterns instead of cutting through our neighborhoods. Other than that, I think this is a great idea. Thank you.
Thank you, and I think that the first thing you brought up, and I'm just all councilmember for that, but there's a point of clarification, it's not being closed during the DORA, and I think you did understand that.
Yeah, but, so Erie Street would be open?
Continue to be open, right.
Just.
But that's made a very good point. That's something else for us to have on our minds. Thank you.
My name is Phil Gettinger. I live at 6630 Erie Street, which is, I think, just outside the DORA. Some descriptions at the bottom kept them ambiguous. From the original newspaper article, I assume that the DORA is contained within the downtown business district zone. In other words, it includes the south side of Green Street. It's not including the north side of Green Street, is that correct?
Yeah, that's my understanding.
For the larger, for confirmation on that, that accurate?
Here's something, have you seen this map?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
One thing I was interested to hear, I did not know in Brooks and I that this applies only to Durham Line. Absolutely not liquor, is that correct?
No.
No liquor, that's not correct.
That's not correct.
Oh, I misspoke, I'm sorry. It's everything.
This includes part of liquor?
Can be everything.
Okay. My general impression is that it's a crazy idea. And I hardly can leave the period to discuss this. Beyond that, probably my main concern is why do the boundaries go out as far as they do? We had somebody here from Haymarket, said, I saw it last night. Okay, there's nothing north of Haymarket. Why does this have to go all the way to residential areas for you to be shoved in the faces of building buildings? That's both the same with Flood Summit Street. Cut it off the back from Haymarket property. So there it goes, if that's what you want, and it goes from there to downtown. We don't need, to me, that's common sense. Erie Street from Summit to the tracks. I understand that the south side is zoned business, but it's not business. And the other side of the street, of course, is completely residential. We don't need it turned into a party scene, which is what this is really all about. $1. According to the report, talking about 8 a.m. till closing every day. Closing is 2:30 in the morning. So you're talking about turning Sylvania downtown into virtually a 24-hour open-air drinking area. That just doesn't sound like a very good idea. Liability-wise, I assume this has all been dipped off, the city's in the clear. But it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Signage. If this is done, and I assume it's going to be done in one form or another, I would be concerned that it would be plenty of very clear signage. Door up, stops here. No alcohol, that would be a good point. And as I said, to me, it makes sense. North boundary of Haymarket is that point. I see no reason for anybody to be piling down the sidewalk, local containers of liquor, into the residential neighborhoods. A purely mechanical question that I was curious about in reading the report that talked about the infrastructure aspects of it. What do they do about restaurants? Somebody goes into Bar A, buys their drink, wanders around the city with it. Are all of the bars obligated to make their restaurants open to the public from now on? How would that work? Where are these people going to use the restrooms once they leave the place where they bought their drink? That's a hypothetical. I guess that's most of what I want to say. My main concern as a resident that is across the street from the downtown business district is that the party scene, the open air saloon scene, if you want to energize downtown Sylvania, as it was expressed in the original late article, that way, I guess I don't really care. I don't have to partake of it, so I don't think it's a good idea, but it doesn't bother me. Extending it into the residential neighborhood,
noise, live bands, that's a big problem for people living in those residential areas. So I guess my main message is, I think it's a bad idea, but if you're going to do it, please keep it downtown.
Yeah, Mr. Ettinger, if you don't mind, you and I chatted by phone a couple times about this, and you made a point about the noise, specifically about the noise, right? And,
well,
and could you elaborate a little bit more on that?
For those of us who live near downtown, the noise of live bands is always potentially a problem. Now, I've been living where I do now for about 15 years. As long as the bands and the loud music, which varies from loud to just ear-shattering, as long as it's kept all the way downtown, it's not a problem. It can be almost as loud as anybody can imagine, and unless you intentionally try to, those of us that are as close as I am can't even hear it. If you move it out to Haymarket, or if you move it out to Element 112, which has happened just once, I think, at each point in the last couple of years, it becomes approximately 4 times as loud for people living outside the downtown. That's part of what I mean by keeping the party scene downtown. Have music as loud as you want, but please keep it downtown.
And one more thing, Mr. Ettinger, I think that you indicated that the hours were 8 a.m. till close, and I just have a point of clarification for you and the audience.
I was more concerned with the 2:30 than I was with the
Any other comments?
This should not include Summit Street or the North End of Erie or the corner of the Norman Summit. There are no restaurants in this area. We don't feel that this is the way we want to establish a culture in our neighborhood with the door cut. Is there a reason the boundaries extend so far east to include Summit Street and back into the middle of the North 10 Mile Creek, taking it beyond all the homes of Summit Street on the west side? There are no parks on Summit or Erie Street to stop and visit, nor are there any businesses for shopping on Summit Street. How would these areas be monitored? A smaller area with a proposed than the proposal would be better monitored. There are many places for individuals to slip behind homes or other buildings, particularly off Summit Street, as many of us have wooded land as part of our property. Start with smaller boundaries that are within a few blocks of the restaurants and businesses with a liquor license. Test the waters, get to know how this is going to work and what other challenges, if any, and how it will be monitored. If we need to expand, when that occurs with another restaurant or brewery opens, then address it when it happens. What days and times of the day are proposed to the door project? And you have answered that before I knew that. From what I have learned, there are a variety of ways that this has been addressed in other communities, from limited days and hours to open concepts depending on the community. And then I wanted to know that was going to be shared, and you shared that tonight. We are not opposed to growth. We are happy to see all storefronts full in downtown Sylvania, but please don't compromise our neighborhoods in the process. We feel that Summit Street should not be included in the proposed boundaries of the Dora project, and the boundaries should be limited to the few blocks on Main Street where the businesses with liquor license are located. Thank you. And there were several people in our neighborhood that were not able to be here because of work, and so they did sign it, so I can share that with you.
Thank you very much. You can step up to the microphone, please, Mr. Ettinger.
I said that it seemed to me that the logical north
thank you. Just great. Oh, you can go ahead. You mean you've got another comment wearing a different hat? So for clarification, why don't you tell us about that? Thank you. Any other people who would like to speak on this topic?
How is that sidewall to Main Street area only, I think could work. But to expand that area to Summit Street, which isn't as well lit, it would have to be better policed. You know, where do you stop a boundary when you don't have someone policing that area? How do you stop someone from, maybe they're finished consuming their alcohol, but they continue to walk down the street and cross the street and are injured? I think having it more confined is better for everyone, because they want them to go back into their place of establishment, buy another one, right? And we want people to stay safe, and we also want to encourage a family-friendly neighborhood still, and not just a recreational area. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. Anyone else? Thank you. Sure.
I you said reassess for a year. Do you mean establish this for a one-year limited basis and then do the assessment that you talked about? Is that, am I understanding that? Okay, yeah, okay. Okay, I just want to make sure that we didn't confuse what you said for saying put it off a year until we did some more assessment. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from people here with us tonight? Hearing none, I thank you all for your wonderful input. I would open up to council members. I don't know if there's anything any of you want to ask for clarification or any points that you feel you'd like to make at this time.
Mary, just to make sure that we keep this process public, I would suggest, and it's up to Mr. Fry, of course, that we take it back to his committee and retool it based on some of the input that we heard tonight. But then council wouldn't act again unless we had another opportunity to have the final version vetted in public. Is that fair to say?
I think that's acceptable, and I think those decisions can be finalized at the safety committee level.
I agree.
That's perfectly fine by me.
Any other comments from other members of council?
Mary, I have a question, mm-hmm. Just a general question from my own knowledge. What time do all of our bars close in town? Is it all, are they all 2:30, or if someone could answer that for me, because I'm usually not out at that time.
Weekday, Sunday, was it Sunday or Thursday, 11 o'clock, we closed, and then midnight, Friday, Saturday.
Okay,
and
so the... So you're not open till 2:30?
No.
Okay.
Southwester closes at 2.
2.
J&G's, the week closes earlier than that.
Midnight.
12.
And then I believe the others are currently closed in the afternoon, but we did have, if I recall, somebody expressed interest about possibly expanding their hours into the evening if we would pass something like this. I believe that was the owner of Executive, and we started this.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that's where sod's 2.
Okay. So 2 is the latest, and that is one venue.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Elements earlier as well.
Oh, yes, Element, yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
So, council members, anyone else?
Yeah, I know we originally did this based on the B3. But that, there's nothing that prevents us from drawing our own lines, right? So we can, I think some of those comments were very,
right. And just to clarify, it's only in the public right-of-way, so although the boundaries show the backyard, that's not actually a DORA, part of the DORA territory.
So it's just along the streets?
Just along, right.
Okay.
No, I won't. I'll hold my comment till later.
Okay. Well. Okay. So, Sod Busters has that. You know, they have that parking lot basically in front of them.
The DORA would not include that because that is not public right of way.
How do you get from Sod Busters to the right of way?
With your cup. That's a very good question.
You mean, Mr. Hamm, you mean legally?
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Because that technically wouldn't be legal then, right?
Right.
Based on what you're saying.
Right. For Sod Buster.
For people who are leaving Sod Buster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mrs. Brennan, I'm guessing that some of our peer communities who have done DORAs for a while have encountered this problem, so probably a little bit of checking with them would give us an answer to how they handle that.
Yes.
There's got to be a door off an alley in Tiffin,
right,
where this, they've addressed
mm-hmm.
this.
Maybe they can make an alley to them.
One other clarification I was interested in, one of the number of the speakers mentioned the concern about outdoor bands. If there were going to be an outdoor band, and I'm assuming based upon locations that the only two spots that it would theoretically be possible would be Element and Sod Buster. Would that require a special permit to have an outdoor band? So that would be an incremental ask, correct? Okay, thank you.
So I see there's a couple questions that surface. If you just step back with the microphone so we can be sure everyone can hear from you.
people speed down Summit Street all the time. Chief Rodas knows because he has people stationed at Reed's every morning. So I see possible injury. I see people, we've already had young people, and that's not biased, they were young people, defacing someone's property on the corner and urinating in their flower bed. Your point about public toiletries is not beyond, you know, looking at. So, again, while I appreciate and support this in the downtown area, I see a lot of hazards in getting it down to Summit Street. In addition, the parking lot that Kevin Pettit had, or Keith, not Kevin, that Keith's here tonight has, adjacent to the side buster, backs up right into their residential area. People will wander back there, and I don't believe there is a fence to keep people from going into someone's backyard. So, boundaries, safety, you know, let's keep our community family friendly too, and still advancing forward.
Thank you. I think your voice has been heard, and I would say that we would welcome additional comment, but I'd like, if you've got comment, to make sure that it's new comment, that we're not just giving.
Well, I felt that
was good. It was fine. I just want to make sure that I think we all are very grateful for your input, first and foremost. It's important. And please give us your name and your address.
Hunter Cheney, live at 5736 Summit Street. I just wanted to address one question. Are the police buying in for this, or more requiring a 50 on their part? How are they going to control, you know, they're going to be needed more than they are now. So that's one question.
Chief Rhoda, if you want to take it.
Police department.
I think it's a good question.
I can tell you that the City Council has allocated no additional funds at this point for police patrols. Obviously, if it's going to go from 10 a.m. to closing and we have all these outlets, we can't have enough police to cover all that. But we will address it. Once City Council decides what they're going to do, I will come up with a plan to address it.
You see my point?
I certainly do.
You know, like 7 days a week?
We are looking at other communities to see how they've responded to it, and the norm that I found is that at the beginning of these, they do have more enforcement out there, but then they let that slack off and they have some private security that's out there. But until we have a more definite plan, I won't have a plan. Thank you for the question, though.
Just as long as they buy into it.
That is their job. They will protect and defend whatever City Council chooses to do.
So I thank you all for your participation this evening. This input has been very valuable to all of us. I know that every single council member here is going to really reflect on the conversations and try to make sure we make the best decisions going forward. I think Mr. Lutke's suggestion about after it's referred to the committee, providing another opportunity for public dialogue will be important. And I would assure you that you are all very welcome to reach out to individual council members if you think of something you'd like to share after we leave this public hearing tonight. And with that, I would call this public hearing closed at 7:20. Thank you so very much.